Welcome to another episode of Cinema Savants. He's Todd Vandenberg, I'm Rob Steele, and this is the end of 2018 special, where we're going to talk about the best movies of 2018. But we're not starting there, because that'd be too easy. No, we're going to start with the crappiest movies, some of them maybe ever. Although I don't think some of them are, because you got to look at what is a good movie and what isn't a good movie. Is it just box office? And I think it can't be.
No, it can't be. There are movies that do poorly at the box office for whatever reason. So it's not just about box office. It's just utter craptacular.
A movie we keep coming back to, not as much as we used to, but still keep coming back to Big Trouble in Little China. Flopped yes. in the theater. But if you watch it, you go, that was a good movie. That was a really good movie.
And I think it's a great movie. And I was there. I think I'm sure I told this before, but my wife and I, ex now, but wife then, went to the theater opening weekend. And Friday night, 7:30, 7 o'clock, the prime time, right? And there were two other people in the theater.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's an ouch. And God, I don't remember offhand, and you're probably looking at it right now, but I think it made like $5 or $6 million total.
I think it was 6.5.
In its theatrical run, and that is at least to people who enjoy that genre, it's a really good movie. I think it's a great movie. You think it's a really good movie?
I think it's made $6.5 million with just me buying more copies of the DVD because I keep losing them.
Yeah, you know, if you release that amount now, it would probably make $300 million. You know, as a new property, I'm saying. I'm not saying a re-release, of course. But I mean, it just the times weren't right for it. So yeah, box office is by no means a measure. It's one measure, but it's by no means the measure of whether something's good or not.
I mean, some of the movies that are included on this box office, not a hit, it's a miss. The Happy Time Murders. Which you made a movie using Muppets and you still lost, what, $13 million? How did you do that?
Well, they did that by going totally against the grain of all the Muppet movies, and that was intentional, you know, by doing an adult, a very adult, apparently.
Yeah.
A Muppet movie. Let's just say Sex and Silly String. So there you go, put that together.
No. No.
Or let's not.
The Girl in the Spider's Web, which I wasn't even sure came out yet. Because I was vaguely curious about that. Cost $43 million, made $31 million.
Oops. Yeah, came and went. And I mean, it's odd because the first American version didn't do that well at the box office either. It's got Daniel Craig. And I think it's a really, really good movie. David Fincher directed it. But for whatever reason, it just didn't really connect with audiences. Probably because it's really dark and complex.
Yeah.
Two things that generally work against big
but Americans don't do dark and complex.
Yeah, apparently not.
That's why people still hate Obama and voted for Trump. I'm sorry, I couldn't help that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I personally loved Trump, and I'm kidding.
Excuse me.
Obama was awesome, and we ended up with a flop, like a Wrinkle in Time. Which I've decided yes. That's kind of what Trump looks like to me, is a Wrinkle in Time.
It does look like a Wrinkle in Time, which I finally watched.
Cost $100 million, made $132 million, so it barely made money as far as they're concerned.
I'm just going to throw in a very quick mini review. I thought that was a really, really bad movie.
Yes.
And I'm not comparing it to the beloved reading of the book, because I never read the book. So I was...
I did. Where are her two brothers?
Yeah. It was just a really poorly done movie. And it wasn't so much that it was overtaken by the special effects. It's just bad. The script is bad. The direction is bad. The performances were either not there or over the top. It just sucked. There's nothing good about that movie, which is really sad because that... DeVay will go on and make wonderful films because she already had and she will make more. That one, wow, just terrible.
Everyone needs a speed bump, and that's hers.
Yeah, that was practically a car wreck. But she got out perfectly okay without a scratch, and she'll be fine.
Yeah. Let's see, Nutcracker in the Four Realms, also in the same category, cost $100 million, made $138 million. didn't see it.
I mean, interesting. And we know that if it wasn't a Christmas, perhaps one of the Christmas themes, and came out at Christmas time, you know, if it didn't have the holiday tie-in, probably would have made 28.
Yeah.
That's the only reason it made any money is because, oh, let's take the kids to see this. So.
Guess what? No.
Not enough people
The
did.
Biggest miss of the year, though, apparently is going to Robin Hood, which cost $100 million, made $65 globally. And I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, and it had the potential to be so much more. Now, I did see one thing after we talked about it that made it make a little more sense. It's not supposed to be our Earth. It's an alternate reality version of Robin Hood, which might explain, what was it you said? You found train tracks in the background somewhere in the 1300s?
There are so many bizarre anachronisms in this movie. But
does that help in any?
No, because they mixed in modern slang with it. Okay, if it's an alternate universe, why are they using... You know, if you're going to create an alternate universe, create a universe and stick with it. Don't just grab things willy-nilly all throughout and say, that just is lazy. It's not an alternate universe. It's just freaking lazy.
Yeah. I mean, things out of place like that, terminology just can throw you. I mean, I was visiting my mom this past week for the holidays. And at one point, I'm trying to remember what the subject was, but she just looked at me and went, gag me with a spoon. And I went, oh, my God, that is really very much out of place. That was out of place when the phrase was popular. But you saying it to me now is just bizarre.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate summation of that film. And to be honest, I've not seen the film because based on the trailers, there's no way in hell I'm going to subject myself to it. Yes, we watch movies so you don't have to. But some movies, even we won't watch. And for this thing to just it's just a train wreck, makes A Wrinkle in Time look like, I don't know, Gone with the Wind, Citizen Kane, take your pick. Because at least they had a concept of what they were doing with A Wrinkle in Time.
Now, something that did not make this list, because this movie came out after the list, apparently, Mortal Engines, which apparently cost around $100 million and so far globally has made $61 million.
Yeah.
My thing with this is, it looks good to me. And you can tell right off because it's London on wheels. And you go, okay, I've never seen that before.
Yeah. I agree. The clips look good, but...
It looks pretty.
It also looks like you've seen this story like 50 times, you know, in one way. And it's just how often... And obviously, yes, this is based on a series of books. When did this first come out? Like 20 years ago?
Something like that.
So it's not like they just jumped on the bandwagon. But you've got to give something fresh other than starry-eyed young couple fights dystopian future and wins. It's like, come on. Do something a little different than, London on Wheels, that's very cool, that's different. But if the heart of the story is the same damn story that you've seen over and over and seen done very well, clearly... You're not going to go bother watching it again.
One of the first Matt Smith episodes of Doctor Who was London on the back of a space whale. Don't ask. It actually made sense and was pretty good.
That's Doctor Who.
At the same time, if you look up Box Office Mojo, or look up Mortal Engines on Box Office Mojo, not the other way around, it wouldn't work. If you look up similar movies, it comes up with Mad Max Fury Road, which... Wow, really? But switching over, you know, it could be a critical thing because the critics don't like movies. I rarely see something where a critic goes, oh, a critic has loved this movie, unless it's a movie that I look at and go, I have seen absolutely nothing in this trailer that makes it look even remotely interesting, but the critics love it. Oh, that means I shouldn't go in my head.
In your head.
But there's a list of like the worst 15 movies on Metacritic, and again, there's a movie that should be on this list because it fits right in. Death of a Nation is the worst critically acclaimed. It's not acclaimed. Declaimed? What's the opposite of acclaimed?
Yes.
Death of a Nation got a 1 out of 100, and I've barely heard of that movie, so I get that.
I wonder if Dennis DeSouza actually got a journalistic credit so he could person who liked his own movie.
Some of the names on this list, I have heard of, like Gotti. I think you reviewed that a few weeks ago.
Yes, and in hindsight, it's probably worse than what I said, because I was explaining that just because you get a zero on Metacritic doesn't mean that every critic hated it. Just that means that no critic could recommend it.
It's up to 24 now.
Oh, well, that's totally insane, because it is absolutely one of the worst movies of the year. Probably one of the worst movies of the decade.
Happy Time Murders is at 27. Winchester got 28. But you see, those movies are actually a little bit higher than one that's out now. And we talked about this a little bit before the show.
Yeah.
Holmes and Watson got a 24.
Which astounds me.
I'm wondering how it got that high.
I thought about going to see it last night, and then again, I thought I'm not going to sacrifice 2 hours of my life to do this, because to me, a little Will Ferrell goes a long way. There are very few Will Ferrell-centered movies that I really like. I like the other guys, Step Brothers, and that's about it.
I can't even like that much. And someone's going to go, Anchorman, Rob, Anchorman, you must love Anchorman. No, I don't.
Well, actually, I like Anchorman, but again, Anchorman is closer to an ensemble piece. But the clips, they chose to show the clips. They chose those scenes to advertise this movie to try to get people to go see it. Did you see anything funny in any of those clips? It's a comedy.
No.
And nothing funny. It's painful to watch just the freaking clips. It's so bad. I for the life of me, I can't understand how John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell read that script and thought, this sounds funny. They had to be unconscious or forced to do this, because holy crap, this just looks so, so bad.
Well, I'll make it better a little bit. Netflix has said they don't want it.
How awful. Netflix, Netflix, I'm going to champion Netflix a little later in perhaps a different segment or even a different show. Netflix has come out with some really good movies. They've also come out with some really bad movies. And if Netflix won't even take it.
If Netflix isn't taking it, boy, have you screwed up.
Yeah, because it has star power attached to it. It has the genre attached to it. Sherlock Holmes, people are going to watch it, period.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That is the biggest critical send-off of all. Netflix doesn't want it.
That's a hint, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. They'll take, you know, poop on a stick. Oh, I'm sorry, the emoji movie.
Yeah, there you go.
But
I want to mention a couple others that might not have been on the list.
Yes, go ahead.
Since this is, well, they're both really bad, but this is also about expectations. We talk about expectations a lot. And if you go into a movie and you think, oh, I think this might be good, and it is good, then you're pleasantly surprised. If you go in and all the buzz has you super hyped up and you think, oh my God, this is going to be the best event of my life. It's the relaunch of Star Wars. And then you realize you've just sat through watching Liam Neeson get chained down by a terrible director. Thanks a lot for all the work you did for us, George. Yeah, so it's all about expectations. So Pacific Rim Uprising, oh, this is going to be great. Pacific Rim was a lot of fun. Pacific Uprising sucked. I think Atlantic Rim was better.
Atlantic Rim 2. Go back and find the review. It's back in the list quite a ways, I think, because that was like, what, March?
Yeah. Because, again, expectations. Atlantic Rim, you know it's going to be a crappy knockoff. Maybe it'll be fun. It isn't, but, you know, at least you have that hope. Pacific Rim Uprising sucked and sucked hard. Just a piece of trash. An even bigger piece of trash, though, to me, was the remake of Die Hard. Totally missed the point of the original movie way back in the 70s with Charles Bronson, which was about a regular man.
You're going to hate me, but that wasn't Die Hard.
Oh, God, I am so sorry. Death Wish.
Yeah, it had Bruce Willis. I understand the... And it's still Christmas time. I understand the crossover.
Yeah, thank you for correcting that. Yeah, it's Death Wish. I'm so sorry.
I know. Both our listeners just went, huh?
Yeah. Sorry for confusing you, Ted. Yeah, Death Wish, the remake of the Charles Bronson movie. Not the Die Hard, which they've remade 4 times now. And actually, I do kind of enjoy all of the Die Hard movies.
Yeah.
Not as much as the first, but...
The first one's a Christmas movie, damn it.
The first one is a Christmas movie, damn it. Death Wish, though.
Not so much.
Yeah, not so much. But the original character, nonviolent, and he is pushed into violence because of what happened to his family. And this one, Bruce Willis, is just like, he's gleeful about it. It's like he can't wait to go out there. And it just wasn't well done anyway. Other than missing the entire freaking point of it, it wasn't very good. So, yeah, a high-profile piece of crap, like the high-profile piece of crap Pacific Rim Uprising. So in some ways, yeah, they're better movies than Gotti, but they're far more disappointing because has anybody expected anything from a John Travolta movie for the past 20 years? All he does is make – it's like he looks for the worst possible scripts and turns them out. I mean, my God, just take the put in John Travolta in Rotten Tomatoes if you want to have some fun and see how many numbers you can find that are over 30. It's not a pretty picture.
I think he's – John Travolta is the prime example of someone who, like every 10 years, has a spectacular movie. And so they try to capitalize that up by putting him in everything else, and it just doesn't work.
He's way overdue. I mean, Nicolas Cage is another person who has a bit of a reputation for, let's say, overacting. But Nicolas Cage will hit the mark with a really good movie every once in a while, or at least an interesting movie like Mandy, which is crazy, and he's crazy over the top in it, but it fits. But Travolta is like, holy cow. I mean, his Scientology bills must be massive because, man, he sure is cranking up money, bad movies to pay the bills.
So let's flip it and talk about the best movies of the year, of which, frankly, were there a lot of great movies? I can think of, you know, a number of them that I thought were really good, but did we have any great movies?
Great movies. That's interesting. I was not sure if I would say there were a lot of great movies.
We can start with the top of the box office with, you know, and it's whether it's worldwide or U.S., these two movies flop places, which is really weird. Worldwide, Avengers Infinity War. In the U.S., it was Black Panther just ahead of it. You know, both Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, which I thought were really good. I'm not sure I'd put them in the category of all-time greats.
I'm with you on both of those. I don't know, and I know a lot of people who would put them both or one or the other in the great category. They're both really, really good. I guess. And I don't really know if it stands the test of time. You know, well, we'll see how we feel about them in 20 years. I mean, obviously that could change. But for me, both of them are absolutely on the best 10 movies of the year list.
Oh, yeah.
which is different from the ones I most enjoyed. But they're also on that list. I mean, they're both really – and I don't have 10 movies I most enjoyed and 10 that – no. But just in general, yeah, maybe great. It just depends on – I guess the mood you're in or how recently you've seen it or whatever, but really, really good. Absolutely. Did they do what they set out to do? Absolutely.
So we got the Jurassic World surprises me because it's number three worldwide money-making movie of 2018. And I've seen it and I didn't think it was, I mean, then again, it's dinosaurs. So you got to take the kids to see the dinosaurs, I guess.
And that's all it is it's dinosaurs and the dinosaurs are well done. And I mean, that's it. I mean, that's no guarantee you're going to make money because God knows there have been plenty of dinosaur movies that have not done well. But yeah, Jurassic World to me was like really, really underwhelming. Except it's not is it Jurassic World or Jurassic World?
Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom. That's right. I was going to say Forbidden Kingdom. It's like, no, it doesn't have Jet Li and Jackie Chan in it.
That was a surprisingly good movie.
That was a surprisingly good movie.
But it didn't come out this year.
much more enjoyable than Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, which to me was just a paint-by-numbers movie.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, okay, cool. And surprisingly, to me, really kind of seemed like it had very few dinosaurs in it, other than the made-up one. And I wish they would stop that. I mean, I get the concept, oh, we can genetically engineer anything we want, blah, blah, blah. And it's much more interesting if they use some of the actual dinosaurs. But... yeah, I mean, it was there, and it was entertaining, and I even forgot the title of it that quickly because that's how memorable it was. Not a bad movie, but it's like you're not gonna be telling your grandkids about, oh, this movie came out and it changed my life. This is not Star Wars.
No.
So,
well, I mean, it, you know, big other big series that had movies this year, like Mission Impossible, Fallout, or Number Six, depends on your point of view, I suppose. to me, part of the movie was ruined because of Mustache Gate.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Henry Cavill cannot shave his mustache to redo the Superman scenes because his mustache is too important to Mission Impossible. Except it wasn't.
It's not like a microphone tucked away in his mustache. Or,
I wanted it to do a musical number, damn it. And it didn't do it. I was very disappointed.
Henry. But speaking of Henry Cavill, I thought he was very good in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which Henry Cavill, I don't particularly care for that much in anything else I've seen him in, because I don't think he's that interesting, but he was good in this. I really liked it. I thought it's a really good action film. Lee, who again is not here, loved it. But to me, it's the Mission Impossible movies, since 4, 2 and 3 were like, they're okay. They're exciting, but it's just like, okay, whatever. But since 4, they've really stepped up their game. I think they've been very good. Ghost Protocol, Rogue Nation, and now Fallout. Really, really good. And I'm impressed myself that I remember the subtitles of them. So
I was going to say, I don't remember them. Don't ask.
The person who can't remember the difference between Death Wish and Die Hard gets that. Figure that out.
Death Hard and Die Wish. What?
No. Yeah. And Die Wish. That's got to be a movie somewhere. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Not one of my top films of the year, but if you like action films and you haven't seen this movie, I'm not sure what's wrong with you, because you need to see this movie if you like action films.
Deadpool 2?
Deadpool 2? Really,
also
really
known as Die Wish?
Die Wish. Oh, that would be it. I have not seen Once Upon a Deadpool, though, which I have squandered that chance, but it'll be on digital and I'll watch it then. Really enjoyed Deadpool 2. Thought they did a great job with pulling off a sequel. Because a lot of times that's hard. Just check the X-Men films. But yeah, I thought it was very good. Did a great job introducing new characters. Excuse me. And Mr. Josh Brolin gets to be 2 major Marvel characters in 1 year. Not bad.
Yay for him. Yeah, sequels or prequels even. Like Solo, A Star Wars Story. Should we have put that on the worst films of the year or misses?
No, I wouldn't say it was one of the worst films of the year. To me, it just didn't need to ever be done. It's not that it's a bad movie, but it's just kind of there. I don't think it adds anything to the Star Wars universe for people to have seen the pre.
Except merchandise.
Yeah, except merchandise, which of course is a big part of the game. But yeah, I watched it and it was fun, and it's like, oh, okay, that's it. to me, it's pretty much unmemorable. It's a lot of the same kind of stuff. And now I can't even think of the actor's name. So sorry, but probably better off.
That's it for me. I don't remember any of the actors in this movie.
If you're going to step into the role, an iconic role like that, God help you. I mean, it's not like taking over James Bond. It's like being the second guy to play James Bond. That's what makes it tough. There's like plenty of people have played James Bond. The next one, that's fine. You know, it's the same thing at this point. It's the same thing with Spider-Man. We're on a third Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Fourth, if you count the god-awful TV movie that no one has ever seen. Fifth, if you count the animated movies and you're thinking of the guy who did the voice, but...
Or the Japanese version.
Oh, my God. Okay, there's probably 18 different Spider-Men.
Yeah, there's lots of Spider-Men.
Which we may get to that later. But, yeah, to step in and try to play that role is like, dude, I'm so sorry for you, because you're not going to be able to pull it off. And he didn't. He was fine. He just wasn't Han Solo. That's not his fault. No one can be. So, and that's what hurt that movie more than anything, is just the fact that it's not Harrison Ford. Therefore, it's not Han Solo. Therefore, this movie is about half as good as it should be.
You know what? I would like to apologize to you, because I just realized that Die Hard was remade this year. No, I did. It starred The Rock. It was called Skyscraper.
Skyscraper, there you go.
I forgot about this movie.
But you don't have
and
to.
And I remember saying I liked it on this show, but I still forgot about it.
You did like it on this show, and I still haven't seen it. Would it be one of your, well, probably not one of your top movies of the year, because you forgot about it.
Yeah.
One of those movies that you watch, and it's fun, like another movie with The Rock that we both really liked, Rampage.
Yeah.
Not one of my favorite movies of the year, not one of my top movies of the year, but a really fun movie.
Yeah, that's the point, I think, of movies, is you're supposed to have fun with them.
Yeah, or some movies, not so much, like any of movies in The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, Spider's Web, that those are not going to be fun. They're not supposed to be. But, yeah.
Schindler's List was not exactly a fun movie, but yeah.
Well, there was that once. No, no.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Movies, but Schindler's List obviously did what it's supposed to do. And most of the movies, especially on this show, they're supposed to entertain you. They're supposed to be fun. That's what we tend to highlight. And Rampage definitely did that. To me, more so than Solo did.
Yeah. So, let's see. What else did we want to talk about with this? Did we actually have a top list?
I've got a few. I've got five that stood out for me.
All right.
And we've already talked about Black Panther. We've already talked about Avengers Infinity War. Which, talk about, is Avengers Infinity War really fun? Towards the end, it's not so fun, right? It's
well, the very end, but very I think getting there was fun.
Yeah, getting there was fun. But again, that's which is one of the reasons why I like it, because it really has bigger themes going on than what we typically think of in comic book movies, for lack of a better term. So my next on the list, no, I'll stay with the comic book movies. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the movie which Rob will never get the title of correctly. Again,
onto through
about. A great, absolutely great comic book movie. This is the best comic book movie ever, as far as making you feel like you're watching a comic book come to life. I mean, it's just brilliantly done. Acting is great, story is great, looks beautiful. I mean, absolutely one of my favorite films of the year. Still not sure if it's the best Spider-Man movie, because the second Spider-Man movie is pretty damn strong with Doc Ock, and so is Homecoming. But yeah, this is definitely a great entry, and good for Sony for figuring it out finally. But very enjoyable, absolutely, and really, it did take them a while, didn't it? And really, this is one that's worth going to see in the theater, as opposed to, well, you know, we've talked about that before too. If you're sitting at home with your 15-inch screen and you're 5 feet away, the image is bigger than if you were at the theater. So watch it however.
It's going to hurt your eyes though, so back up a bit.
Especially with this movie, holy cow.
Yeah.
You get retina damage from that. Really good movie though. And the antithesis of when we've talked a lot about how some comic book movies tend to be too dark, like literally too dark. Not the case with this one at all. So, yeah, very cool movie though. Really, really fun. Also, kind of out of the genre, way out of the genre. A Star Is Born.
Can I put my number three in at this point?
Yes, please do.
I have a short list, but I'd like to put it in if you. And it's one you actually mentioned a minute ago, and it is purely fun, and it might actually be, in my mind anyway, the best video game movie, which was Rampage, even though there was a lot of, there were things that were not in the movie that were in the game, when you kind of go, I wanted to see that in the movie, but it's not there. And you know what? That's fine.
Yeah.
It had The Rock, which is going to entertain you, if nothing else. It had bright colors. So you can see it, unlike, and I finished watching the Titan series. Holy crap. Turn the lights on. Seriously. You can see what's going on. The storyline, no, it's not Shakespeare, but it's fun, and you can, and it's in a language you can understand, unlike Shakespeare most of the time. So, yeah, for me, number three, Rampage. It's out on DVD. Go rent it now or whatever you do.
I'll say this for the plot of Rampage. Considering that it's based on a video game, I thought they did a great job.
Yeah.
It's not a video game
that had no plot.
Exactly. Exactly. They created a really good story around it. And as far as The Rock goes, have you ever seen a movie with The Rock that you didn't enjoy The Rock's part of it?
There are a few Rock movies I have skipped, like the one where he was the Tooth Fairy.
I've skipped that one too.
Yeah.
But The Rock himself
looks interesting.
I've seen some movies where it's like, the movie wasn't so great, but The Rock is always entertaining. There's a reason he was the biggest star in WWE, and it wasn't because of his mad wrestling skills. I mean, the guy is...
I mean, as far as wrestling is concerned, and I love you, Rock, don't beat the crap out of me for this, he had four moves.
Yeah, basically. But his, and he had a fifth move, which was picking up the microphone, which he slayed with.
Absolutely. Just, he could beat people up with a microphone just by talking to them.
And he ended one career with a microphone. So,
sorry, Billy Gunn.
Exactly. You know, you talk about screen presence, and The Rock maybe have, well, not the the biggest ever, but, and no pun on his size, but just saying he has one of the best screen presences ever. The guy is absolutely magnetic. So,
not which arguing is why, that at all.
Which is why people go see movies with The Rock. Whether the movie is good or not, that's The Rock, it'll be fun. And they're right. You know, at least he'll be fun. So, yeah, I totally am totally down with the selection of Rampage. Wouldn't make my list, but that doesn't mean
fun. It makes sense.
Absolutely, it's fun. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. Entertain people. Next for me
number
is
two.
Far off the beaten path of this, and this is A Star is Born. Very different from what we usually talk about, but
I think the rest of our movies, I know mine are as far off the beaten path as what we normally talk about as we can probably get.
There you go. So A Star is Born, and it's phenomenal. I rewatched all of the versions, including the 1937 with Frederick March, like the week before I saw the movie, and the 54 version, Judy Garland, James Mason, the one that everybody knows, the train wreck, which is the Barbara Streisand, Chris Christopherson one, which a lot of people like, which I think is god-awful, and it's just a vanity project for Streisand, and it sucks because she can't act and Christopherson's not much better. Star is Born is great.
Damn.
Bradley Cooper is awesome acting. He sings really well. Lady Gaga can sing a little bit. What's surprising to me was how good she was in the role acting. Absolutely great movie. Won't be a bit surprised. And there are a lot of good movies this year. Won't be a bit surprised to see it take Best Picture. And again, there are other movies out there. But Star is Born absolutely blew me away. Just absolutely a great movie. You're number two, sir.
My number two... yes, it has to do with a character that came out of a book. It's not a comic book, though. Well, actually, I'm sure it is a comic book at some point. But Christopher Robin, which I was not expecting to like anywhere near as much as I did. I mean, my kids grew up on the Winnie the Pooh stories. And this is Ewan McGregor, which I have to pronounce that way. Sorry. playing a grown-up Christopher Robin who gets drawn back into the world of Winnie the Pooh. And just the way it's done, where it's not the animated Winnie the Pooh that shows up, it's the actual little bear. The little you know, it's not a teddy bear, it's a Pooh bear. All the Pooh characters are the stuffed animals that are from the original book, which is why Gopher is not in this, because he's not in the book, you know. People who watched the movie, the first animated Pooh movie, are going to get that now. Because that was a joke I did not get for years. Did you get that?
I did not get that.
There's a character in the animated Winnie the Pooh movie called Gopher, who would pop up occasionally. Here, and whenever he would leave, he goes, "Here's my card. I'm not in the book, you know." Which is, you know, usually a, "Oh, not in the phone book. Can't look me up that way." No, he's not in the A.A. Milne book. They added him for the movie. That's a clever joke. He's not in this movie. This is a tugging at heartstrings movie, which is normally the kind of thing I stay as far away from as I can. But I watched this one and I liked it. And it without damaging anything else, you know, I didn't cry for a week. But I want to see it again because it was a good, fun, not always happy, but damn, there's some good humor in this movie.
And I have seen that to see a movie, and now I want to see it even more because I love the heartstring pulling movies. So I definitely
there we
have
go.
Especially based on your recommendation, since not your normal cup of tea. And if you loved it that much,
I did. I really did. I loved this movie.
Well, this is not really my number one because I didn't really go 1 through 5 on mine, so I don't know where it would fit. But definitely in my top five. And it kind of tugs at the heartstrings a little bit, but in a very different way. A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal suspense horror film. very different from things we've seen before in the fact that it's mostly a silent film. Yet sound is very important to the film. And if somehow you haven't heard about A Quiet Place, monsters are out there, and if they hear you, they will kill you. So you have to be absolutely quiet. John Krasinski, this has been a year for stars directing. This is not the first film he's directed, but this is by far his biggest hit. Man, did a great job directing. Emily Blunt, the usual badass Emily Blunt, as she always is. Great performances by everyone. I'll just say that in this movie, probably about, I can't remember now if it's like 6 or 7 minutes into the movie, certainly in the first 10 minutes, there's an event that happens in the movie that you do not expect. And when that happens, you know all bets are off. You don't know what's going to happen in this movie because they break one of the rules that people usually follow in movies. When they do that, it's like, oh, crap. I have no idea what's going to happen next. Absolutely great movie. Love the movie. Doesn't make it make me cry, but I don't know. Maybe in some scenes. But just beautifully done. And the fact that he insisted that, because one of the characters, one of the lead characters, the couple's daughter, she's deaf, which plays a role in the film, he insisted they use an actual deaf actress. And she's been in films before, and she's excellent. So Quiet Place really, really rocks.
My best movie of the year, as far as I'm concerned, has to be Mamma Mia, Here We Go. I'm kidding. I'm really, really kidding.
Thank you.
Although it is musical, kind of. Bohemian Rhapsody, which I talked about a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And since then, I have seen, again, I'm going to bring up the critics, who said that they didn't like the movie. I saw some guy say it was too fun. Bite me. How? I mean, come on. Did you have fun at the movie? If the answer is yes, then it's probably a good movie. I mean, it's a biopic of not so much the band Queen as it is Freddie Mercury. However, I've seen a lot of critics say, this film is so bad, there's plenty of room left for a better biopic, and there needed to be more of Freddie Mercury's story. How the hell can you have... This is Freddie Mercury's story. You barely... Brian May, Roger Taylor, and John Deacon are very much background characters in this. How can you have more Freddie? I mean, that's not a bad thing, but... Good Lord, that's all it is, really, is Freddie Mercury's story. And you go, oh, there needs to be more of it. There isn't. He died. I'll be blunt about it. Come on.
That's not a spoiler. If it's a spoiler, you need to get out more.
Really. I mean, Freddie Mercury had an incredible stage presence. Slightly above The Rock. The Rock has an incredible stage presence. Freddie Mercury's above that.
Yeah.
And... Rami Malek pulled it off. He's someone, and I'm not knocking Rami Malek. I didn't think he had that kind of stage presence. Well, maybe if he's acting like he does, okay, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great movie. Loved the music. Duh.
As far as Rami Malek goes, I think he was, because I've seen some interviews with him, and I think very much you nailed it, that he doesn't have stage presence. But he acted as if he did. He decided, just like, okay, I have to be Freddie. Because he said he left the teeth in all the time because he wanted to be Freddie. And he said something really beautiful. He said, you have the chance to be Freddie Mercury instead of yourself. What, you know, who are you going to be? Which is kind of sad saying that about himself. Because, like, he's right. It's like, you get to be Freddie Mercury? Really? So he just inhabited that character. So, yeah, I think it's sounds like to me like it's all acting. Which I imagine that an actor acting, but...
what a concept.
Yeah, exactly. As far as critics saying they wish there was more of his story, I'm assuming they're talking more about his personal life, the sex life aspect of it.
I don't know what else you could put in. It seemed...
Yeah.
I mean, was I there when it happened? No. Was some stuff left out? Yes, because it's not done in real time.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 2.5-hour movie. I mean... if you had done
it for 2.5 hours, you know,
if you'd done a 20-hour miniseries, you're still not going to get everything in. And I mean, I'm thinking that basically, if you're going to tell the story of Freddie Mercury, most of it's got to be about the music because that's what people are interested in. And clearly, this wasn't about nothing but the music. So those critics are insane.
Still a great movie. And yes, there's a lot of movies that we didn't even talk about. We didn't touch on 50 Shades Freed because I don't think either of us bothered to watch it. Yeah. We missed Venom, which is somehow the fifth highest grossing movie of the year, or Halloween, or Crazy Rich Asians, or a movie my sister said she loved, the new Mary Poppins. I'm sure we'll have a review of that at some point on the show,
which I hope to at least see this afternoon. But yeah,
there we go.
A lot of really good movies.
Black Klansman,
for sure. Which didn't hit my list of like the top five, because that's what I was trying to hold it to, but. Top 10, definitely. Really a lot of really good movies that, again, it's not a 10-hour show. We don't have time to touch on all of them.
So really what we're saying is we're not going to cover everything. What you need to do is get out and go see a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Hey, who turned out the light?